Okay, so we continue with a couple of halachas that are pertaining to clothing and miscellaneous, a whole mix of halachas. Each one is from a different point of view, the Gabi the Malachas, but the common denominator is it has to do with clothing. Clothing, shoes, and those things. First of all, I just want to go back. I believe I must have been not very clear because someone called me during the week about safety pins. So I'll just go back on that one again and maybe expound a little bit. There's an interesting discussion as to how to treat a safety pin. Moshe Feinstein holds that a safety pin is to be treated like a button. And a button, everybody agrees, is not a problem of tofer. There's no sewing in putting a button through a buttonhole, and there's no korea, there's no undoing of the sewing when you remove the button from the buttonhole. Ad kerekach, that this binding is not considered tofer, that even if you were to do it long term, it doesn't have any repercussions, the gabe tofer. Sometimes we discuss the strength of what you've done or how long you intend on doing it. Yeah, that doesn't make a difference. So even if you have something like a pillowcase, and you put the pillow in and you want it to stay there forever and ever, that still, if it closes with buttons, you can do that on Shabbos because that's not considered as something closed. So he says that a safety pin essentially should be from the same swara. You have a pin that you're putting through the cloth. So you're making the hole when you put it through, but you're putting it through the cloth, and then it holds the cloth together. But this is not considered sewing. This is not considered the binding of what a safety pin does, or what sewing does. And also, when you remove it, it's not like when you have sewing, so now if you remove it, you rip the seams. Here, you just pull it out, and the garment goes back to the way it was beforehand. So there's a start to say that safety pins and buttons are of the same criteria, and therefore will be mutter to use a safety pin anyway on Shabbos. However, on the other hand, we have a carbon designer, one of the Freudian, who says that he's surprised why people use pins on Shabbos to hold garments together, because they insert the pin back and forth a couple of times. So he says that should be like sewing. So you see that the Kabbalah Sanda looks at using a metal pin in the same vein as using thread in cloth, even though the pin can be removed in a way that would be non-damaging to the cloth, whereas the thread not. Nevertheless, he doesn't seem to hold that's the criteria. And therefore, there are a lot of poskim that say that you have to look at a safety pin, or any pin for that matter, as a form of sewing. And the rule of sewing is that one stitch is permissible, two stitches is allowed as long as they're not tied in place, and three stitches is forbidden, even if you don't tie it. Now, a safety pin is you close it on the ends, and you put the safety lock over it, and that holds it in place. So that's like tying it. So therefore, once you do a double stitch, that lechora should get a din of sewing. Based on that, I saw most of the contemporary books say that because it's a machlokas, so the correct way to treat it is to be careful not to use a safety pin in a way that would cause sewing. If you can, you only put it through once. However, in cases of need, or you can't manage any other way, so then you can rely on the more lenient opinion. So you could have, for example, a garment rips in a way that leaves you lacking in your attire, whether it's for tznius reasons or just you're not dressed anymore because of the way it ripped. So then you may put a safety pin in the way that needs to be done to hold it together. You could call that a shas hatzorich, a necessity, and therefore you can rely on the more lenient opinions when you're stuck. So I just want to go back on that one. Now, a couple of other halachas, as I said, it's a mumble jumble of halachas that all pertain to various things that we wear. So a interesting halacha, a nail in a shoe. If you have a nail in a shoe, if it's the nail of the shoe, the nail that was put in to hold the heel, the sole, whatever in place, it's now protruding and disturbing one's walking, there's nothing you can do about it on Shabbos, it's considered makat patish, and therefore you cannot adjust, bend, or pull out that nail. However, that only applies to the nail that was part of the shoe that's holding the shoe in place. If you were walking and you stepped on a thumbtack, or a drawing pin as we call them, and it's now disturbing, you may pull it out, because that's not part of the shoe, that's something external that came in. That should be no different to someone who walked in a field and got a thorn on his garment, who where we say you can pull the thorn off. It's not a problem of boire, it's no problem over there. So you can do, you can pull this external item out and remove it. If you have a starched garment where the starch is so thick that the various folds of the garment are stuck to each other, there's no problem with unfolding. It's a tablecloth or a shirt or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if the sides get unstuck, because this is not considered tofu. It was not done in order to stick it down. It's just an excess of starch, and that's not considered as any problem on Shabbos. We've mentioned this before, that moilid reach is an issur on Shabbos. Moilid reach is when you apply something with a good smell to clothing so that they get a good smell. It's a zera midrabanan, that we don't impregnate a good smell into our clothing. And therefore, to pour perfume or anything else, or you have a bottle of spray for your linen or whatever it is, you may not spray that on Shabbos. You may not drip it over your material on Shabbos. And if you have those sheets of good smelling stuff that you want to put between your linen to keep your linen closets smelling good and fresh, all that is not allowed on Shabbos. However, if it was there before and the smell had already been absorbed into the material, so then to add more, if it's done in order to enhance the smell, make it stronger, would be asur. But if you're just returning something that was and putting it back in its place, it would be mut. Example given is an esrog has a wonderful smell. And to put an esrog into your pocket on Sukkos, if the esrog was not there before Yom Tov, that means the pocket didn't have any smell of esrog. And now you put the esrog into your pocket, so the pocket is going to absorb the smell of the esrog. That is a problem of moilid reach. If it was there beforehand and the garment already had a good smell, so there's no problem of taking the esrog out and putting the esrog back in again. And it doesn't have to be the pocket of your garment. It could be the cloth that you wrapped your esrog in, or the flax, or whatever it is. If it was the first time you're wrapping it up on Yom Tov, and it never had the smell of an esrog before, you have to watch out that you're putting in smell. There are those who hold that if it was purely done for the sake of protecting the esrog and not because you want the smell of the esrog in the wrappings, so there's nothing to be mako in, and we will rely on that. And in cases of necessity, you have no other way to get your esrog home, you can put it into this bag, take it home, carry your esrog bag home in your talish bag or something like that.
If you have a drawer with these smells, if you have clothes with something that gives a nice smell, and you want to put some clothes away, they will also get the smell of the drawer. Can you put fresh things into the drawer?
So lechora, it doesn't make a difference whether you put the clothing into the good smelling cupboard or you put the good smell into the cupboard. Once you're putting it into a situation where it's going to absorb the smells, so then it will be a problem. Okay. Especially when you have these smells in the cupboard for that purpose. Then it would be a problem to put this freshly laundered material into a cupboard that has these type of aromas inside it. A couple of halachas about glasses. If you have a pair of glasses and something happened that caused them to break, a lens fell out, a screw fell out, you got hit in the face and it bent and all these type of things, it is also to fix them on Shabbos. The problem with takimona, you can't put the lens back in, you can't put the screw back in, you can't tighten the screw, you can't bend them back to their original shape. If they're not wearable, it could even be that there's a problem of mukta. It depends on what type of breakage you're dealing with. If it's a type of thing that you could easily fix yourself, so we worry that if you let you wear it, then you're going to come to fix it yourself, and therefore there would be mukta. Whereas if it needs a mumche, you need to take it to a specialist, meaning you need to take it to the store to get fixed. So then we're not worried that you're going to come to fix it yourself. So then they are not mukta.
Go back to what you were saying about the smells. Just ask, just to make sure, with the, let's say a person has mothballs in their cupboard.
It's not a good smell.
Not a nice smell. Then one can probably add because one doesn't want the smell.
Correct. Yes. And I would imagine even if you have the mothballs that come with a more of a pleasant smell, they have mothballs that they've treated that don't smell as bad as the old ones. It's not a pleasant smell. It's not that you want that smell. It's just that they've covered it up with another smell so that it's not as awful as the original ones. If your glasses broke, so you can't do any other patent, as they call it in this country, any ideas to try to get them to be held back together. You can't take a piece of wire or cable tie or bag tie or twist or something like that and slip it into the hole and tie the pieces together. That would be also a problem of fixing on Shabbos. If you put a pin into the hinge to hold it in place, type of pin that you would never leave it there, so then we'll say that's not fixing, so then you could put it in just for Shabbos, and once Shabbos you take it out. If you have those type of glasses where the lens falls out regularly, it keeps on, every time you bump it a little bit, it falls out, you click it back in, and it falls out, you click it back in, and there's no effort needed to put it back in. It just clicks very easily without having to undo the screw, without having to push too hard, so then that it actually would be mutter to return on Shabbos. You have the cases that the poskim discuss is when you have broken furniture. So we worry that a person might come to fix it on Shabbos. So it depends on what type of fix is involved. If it needs taka, he needs to put it in with a solid push. So then we say that that's no good. That cannot be done on Shabbos. But if it's something that's always rough or something that's always loose, and the way is to do it loose, so you just, they fit into place and come apart. Fit into place and come apart, so then there's no problem with that on Shabbos. Contact lenses, according to Rav Neuwirth, is not a problem to put into the solution after you take them out. there's various discussions as is it a problem of ibud, because when you put something into a acidic solution, it causes it to be processed. Comes from ibud is actually the original ibud is done with leather. Leather, the process of making leather usable. And we say that we've learned this agave food as well, that you don't soak food in vinegar because it's considered as ibud. So he says that even though you're putting it into a solution, first of all, it doesn't go through a process of ibud. It's not processed. It just retains the moisture and you're not interested in the ibud over here. You're only interested in having it stay wet and clean. If, however, the lens has dried out already, so then it would be a problem to put it back into liquid and revive the lens and traps. There are others that discuss the difference between soft lenses and hard lenses, and whether it's porous or not porous, and whether it's a problem of libun, that it's, if you're washing them, I'm quoting Rav Neuwirth. Rav Neuwirth said there's no problem to put your lenses into solution on traps. Using Velcro has no problems. Shabbos is not considered kosher, it's not considered tofer. One may use Velcro on Shabbos. If you have clothing that has labels and tabs and all those type of things, it doesn't make a difference whether it's new and it's coming with a label from the store or it's coming with a label from the cleaners. If it is sewn into the garment, then you may not remove it. If it is tied into the garment and it's just hanging, so then you have to deal with the story of the knot. But generally speaking, if it's the knot that was made by the cleaners, then we say it's a kesher she'en shekeyama. But even so, if you don't cut it at the place where the knot was made, you cut the string at a different place, so then that's not a problem. That's what we call psikas talush. It's not considered as matir. Matir to undo a knot, untie a knot. So the issue is not just untying, but it's undoing the knot. So if you cut a knot through the knot or next to the knot, that will be the same as untying the knot. So if you have a knot that is also to untie on Shabbos, it doesn't help to cut it next to it. But if you cut somewhere else, even though it ends up that you've opened up the system, but since you didn't cut by the knot, it's not considered a problem of matir. So if you have what's common is you have a label, you take something to the dry cleaners and they staple in a label or sewn somehow in, so that will be a problem because that looks like sewing, and therefore taking it out will be a problem with Korea. But if it was just tied in with a string, so then there will be an easier way to get it out. So if you have a label in your garments, it depends if it was a sewn in label or a tied on label, whether you can remove it on Shabbos or not. If you have a new item of clothing that came in a plastic bag, and so the correct thing is to open the plastic bag on Friday already before Shabbos to open the bag, but if you didn't and you need what's inside, so you may rip the bag and get hold of what's inside. Obviously, we always tell a person looking bags, you be careful not to tear through the writing. Diapers, the disposable diapers, cloth diapers are storing themselves in gubby. The safety pins, the disposable diapers have another problem, is that they have tabs that hold the diaper in place and get stuck down and keep it closed. So we say, Amigabit Nioris Shabbos, and today Kodan Shal Sofrin, Chayim Mishun Kodan. It's a lot from the Rambam. Someone who sticks paper together with glue is a problem of Toker. And therefore we say anything sticking, when you stick two items together, is considered as sewing them together. There is a sad to say that when the sewing is done temporarily and you know that it's going to be opened up again, that's not considered sewing. Well, it's not considered sticking. And that's from that point of view, or at least from someone will make it when it comes to opening, whereas closing the Vibor Machmir.
Why is that different from Velcro?
So Velcro is, if you look at Velcro, it's on the one side of the Velcro is you have a whole bunch of little hooks. They're pieces of plastic that are made in a hook shape, and they're softish so that when you pull it, then they can actually open up. But because there's lots and lots and lots of them, so the joint effort of opening all of them at the same shot is what holds the Velcro together. If it was just one hook, it wouldn't have any strength. But because there's lots of them, have strength. On the other side, you have that fluffy stuff, which is basically just little rings. And when you put the two together, so the little hooks get caught in the rings. So essentially what you've done is you've got a hook, you've got a ring, you've got a hook, and the two go together. That's absolutely not a problem of Tofer and Shabbos to put a hook through a loop. It's like putting a button. The fact that they've made 100,000 of them in a small area, and therefore you together they form a very firm bond, that doesn't change the fact that it works like a hook. Whereas glue, you're binding the two sides together. And therefore we say that when you glue two pieces together, that's a problem of Tofer. But if you use Velcro, that's not a problem. It's not binding the two sides together.
Are you saying that the diapers have glue on it?
They're sticky. They're just like a Band-Aid or something like that, a plaster that has adhesive. It's like sellotape. It's a piece of plastic that comes with adhesive on the one side, and then you stick it down, and it is with glue, and it holds it in place. Uh-huh. So the diapers depends which type, but the usually the cheaper ones, at least the early ones that came out, the first ones that came out for sure were regular sticky, like sellotape, sticky glue, and they bound it together. So if you have those, there's a problem of opening it up on Shabbos. When the tab is closed, or it has just like in a Band-Aid, you have a cover on it. You have to remove the cover, and then you expose the stickiness. So when the cover was put on, or when it was closed the first time, it was folded over. So then that was done in the factory to stay that way until it gets used, which is a semi-permanent way of putting it. And therefore we treat that as Tofer, and therefore opening it would be a problem of Korea. So therefore, the best thing is, before you use such diapers, is to prepare them on Erev Shabbos. In Erev Shabbos, you open them and close them. That way, when you close it the second time, it's the same thing that was there before, but the first time it was closed to last. The second time it's closed only for less than 24 hours, because the diaper is going to be used Erev Shabbos. And therefore, it's not a problem of Tofer. Which means that if you prepared it for this Shabbos, it's good enough for next Shabbos, because the fact that it happened to last the whole week is irrelevant. Question is, what was your intention? The intent was you opened it on Friday, knowing that it's going to be used on Shabbos. So that was your intent, was to close it for less than 24 hours. So then when you do use it on Shabbos, you're opening up something which was not stuck on a permanent basis.
Then there's the when you throw them away. If you stick it down, then it's going to be stuck down forever also.
Right. So that the chayre is something one should be careful of. It's not to stick the tabs down before you throw the diaper away. Because then you're making a permanent, that's really permanent, because you never have an idea of ever opening that again. There are cases where if the glue is very, mild, you have like 3M stick-it notes that are made to be put on and take off and put on and take off, or people use them today as bookmarks and things like that. Those things, most possible, are not a problem of Tofer, because there's no proper binding, there's no proper connection that takes place over here. The chayre in diapers, even though they're made that you can open them, that it's a much stronger connection than the people say that is considered tight. The best way to deal with diapers is, if you can, is you buy the version that has the Velcro on it, and then there's nothing to discuss, because as we said, Velcro, you treat it as a hook, you treat it like a button, and therefore you don't have to prepare them, you can close them, you can open them. When you throw them away, you can put the tabs down, because all that's happening is you're dealing with Velcro, and therefore there's no problem. There is a separate issue, I didn't see it brought in the Shemir Shabbos, I've seen other people discussing it, that the way the diapers are cut, they are cut with a hot knife, which seals them at the top. It's kedai to open the diaper before Shabbos, because otherwise they would never open before being makabe patish of creating the diaper, because it has been sealed. So it's, even if you have the Velcro version of diapers, it's just kedai to open it up properly before Shabbos and have it prepared. That way you avoid problems. If you have a diaper that has markings on it that will either become stronger in color or the color disappears as the diaper gets used, and that way the parent can know whether it's time to change the diaper, there's no problem of, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's no problem of using these diapers on Shabbos. This is for two reasons. First of all, it happens by itself. As the child uses the diaper, it's not something you're doing. And second of all, you're not interested in the Maisa Tseva or the Maisa Moichek. You only want to, if you look at the diaper, you see, oh, there's writing there. You look at it 2 hours later, there's no writing. So the absence of the writing tells you that something happened. But it's not that you need the space now to write something, or it's not that you need to go read what's written there. You know, like the production, the lot number and the production date makes a big difference to you. It's just that its appearance or its absence is what makes a difference to you, and therefore it's got nothing to do with the writing. So based on the fact that you're not interested, and it's a kira achiyad, and it happens by itself. All the rest, there's nothing permanent about it, and therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that it's not a problem of using those diapers where there's writing on it, that the writing's going to disappear. A couple of other interesting halachas: if you have a blow-up mattress, you may blow it up in Shabbos, as long as first time. The first time to blow up something, the first time to fill something with filler, with air or other filler, is a problem of makabe patish, but if it's been done once before, and putting it back to place is not a problem. Obviously, you cannot use an electronic pump, but to use a manual pump would be permissible to pump up to blow up a mattress in Shabbos. If you have shoes, and there's words written underneath the shoes, the make, whatever, and you want to go for a walk on the beach, you want to go for a walk on the snow, and it's going to leave a footprint, and it's going to leave writing over there, that also is not a problem on Shabbos, even though we don't write on Shabbos, we don't make imprints, but it's a Ksiva She'en Niskayim, which already is a Drabonon, and it's a Davar She'en Niskaven, you're not interested in it, you're not sure it's going to happen, and therefore, we say that you may walk on the beach, even though there's footprints and writing that might be stamped into the sand as you walk. You don't have to worry about that. So too, you may walk on snow on Shabbos, even though some snow is going to be pressed and crushed. And generally, we don't allow crushing of ice on Shabbos, but when it comes to walking on snow, we're going to be makel. And there, it's interesting, Svara is, we don't say that people have to stay indoors. We look for ways to make it easier for a person to get out on Shabbos. If you have shoes that have lights attached to them, and as you run, the lights go on, obviously we're not going to allow you to wear them on Shabbos, and you should not put them on your children on Shabbos, unless you have a way of disabling the electronics before Shabbos. Now here's an interesting halacha. If you have a pair of tzitzis, and the strings are all mushed up and knotted together, can you unknot it on Shabbos? Now, interesting, from the point of view of Hilchos Shabbos, meaning from the point of view of kosher or matir, we said that if you put a bib onto a child and you did a nice bow on the back, but the child moved and pulled and this and that and turned into a double knot, there's no problem of opening that on Shabbos, because you didn't intend on making that way. The knot that you intended was a knot that was supposed to be opened soon, and therefore it has no keel, and therefore you didn't make a knot that's also to make, and therefore it's mutter to open it. And if it got all mushed up, then you still may open up that knot on Shabbos. So I would have thought that same thing with tzitzis, that, you know, you slept wearing your tzitzis and you turned a couple of times, and now everything's all mushed and knotted, and or you have your tzitzis in the came out of the wash, and now you put the fresh pair of tzitzis on Shabbos, and you discover all the tzitzis are knotted, you would think there would be mutter to open it. It says of Novid, you have to see in Hilchot Tzitzis, there's an opinion that says that if the tzitzis are all knotted together, the strings are all like one mush, so then they're possible. They're not kosher tzitzis, because you need to have eight strings. So when things are knotted together, they form one bond, they become one. And therefore, at this moment, they're not kosher tzitzis. So by unknotting it, what you're inadvertently doing is you're fixing it, you're making it kosher again. That is a problem of Maki B'Patish. So though most of the participants in this year don't wear tzitzis, we're not from that group, but we do have children, and we have husbands or brothers or whatever, and you're dressing your son in the morning, and you see that his tzitzis is all knotted, you have to be careful not to unknot it on Shabbos. And one more halacha for today is if you have thorns that got caught in your garment, so there's no problem of removing the thorns. The problem is that you have to do it in a way that does not cause any rip or tear in your clothing, and it therefore should be done gently.
That's the same with blackjacks.
That's right. You can pull them out. Just be careful. That's all. Okay, and with that, we call it a day. We wish everybody a wonderful day, a great week. Meet again next week.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.